love the most about Mark's telling of the Jesus story is how he is absolutely unafraid to show the disciples, Jesus' closest followers, his inner circle of people, the people who have been following him around for like 3 years, Mark's not afraid to show them for who they really are. I mean, oftentimes we read these stories and we see the disciples as followers of Jesus, and they look like, well, they look like bumbling fools, and we're left wondering what in the world Jesus saw in these people in the first place. He called these people? They were making all kinds of mistakes. They have hard hearts. They're slow to learn. I mean, Jesus has been teaching them these same things, day after day after day after day, and story after story after story, and they just cannot get it. But one of the reasons why I love that so much is that the inner circle of leaders, that the followers, the disciples, they're like real people. They make a mess of things like we do. And a couple of weeks ago, that's why I was so bummed that we couldn't have worship last week, because it would have been fresher in our minds. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the story of James and John. They came up to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And their relationship with Jesus had become all about them. They were like, "We've been with Jesus for like 3 years now, and he's going to be king. And when he becomes king, Jesus, we want to be on either side of you as you sit on your throne, because, it's time for us to sit back and just have all our needs met." And they were like consumers of religious goods. And then Jesus, they had it all backwards, and Jesus wasn't afraid to let them know. And he flipped their understanding of the way that the world ought to work. He flips it totally upside down, and he says, "You don't get it. The first must become the slave of all." And it's like a repetition of things that Jesus had been teaching. If you want to be first, you have to become last. If you want to save your life, you'll lose your life. You'll give your life away for what God is doing in the world. So he flips their understanding of how the world ought to operate completely upside down. So you just don't get it. This isn't about you. This isn't about enhancing your own lives. What we're doing here is about partnering with what God is doing in the world, healing, renewing, transforming, setting all things right again, giving your lives away, enhancing the lives of others. That's why we're here. That's why we're gathered here, right? And so the disciples were sort of used as bad examples in here. Like, don't follow Jesus this way. Don't do it this way. And I like that, because it's like, okay, that's me. But if they're used as sort of bad examples oftentimes, what about a good example? What about something we can aim for, shoot for, live into, lean into? What about, where's this, hey, if you want to follow Jesus like this, do it like this. That's what we're looking for. And Mark gives it to us. And this guy, the son of Timaeus, named Bartimaeus, who's blind, Mark is saying, follow Jesus like this guy. 2 weeks ago, when we looked at the story of James and John, and now we look at this story, if you read both those stories together, you'll notice something very interesting. These two stories are linked by a question. By a question. James and John come to Jesus, and they're like, "Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus looks at them and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus comes up to Jesus in this story, and Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And James and John, this is so fascinating to me. James and John, the people who are closest to Jesus, his inner circle, his best friends, they don't get what they want. But then there's Bartimaeus, who doesn't know Jesus, he's a blind man who's on the bottom of the social ladder. He's been pushed aside, set aside. He's been mistreated. He's on the edges of society. He asks for something, and he gets what he wants. So Jesus' closest people, They don't get what they ask for. But here's this guy who's been marginalized his whole life. He gets from Jesus what he wants. What's up with that? Isn't that interesting? I find it interesting. I think I have an idea. And I think it has to do with what happens right before Jesus asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? So let's picture it. Let's get it in our heads. Let's picture the scene. There he was, blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the side of the road. It's dusty. It's gross. He's been sitting there for years and years and years doing the same thing. He's begging for money, any kind of money that people would throw his way. He's just trying to survive, right? This is a guy who's just trying to make it tomorrow. There's no future plans for this guy. There's no long-range five-year deal. This is where I want to be in 5 years. It's, I got to get food for today, because if I don't, I might not be around for tomorrow. So he's sitting there in his dirty, dusty, raggedy clothes, and he's sitting on the ground, and he's got his cloak lying across his lap. It was lying there because it's the only thing that's going to keep him warm. It's the only thing that's going to keep him comfortable. His cloak is lying on his lap because it's the thing that will catch the money that people are throwing his way. His cloak was the way that he made money. It was his life. Without the cloak, he's cold. Without the cloak, he's uncomfortable. Without the cloak, he doesn't make any money, right? So, in other words, this cloak, what it represents to him, this cloak was his life, right? And so, he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming, and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He says it two times, and then over the rebuke of the crowd, Jesus hears him, and he says this. Oh, I just about fell. That's crazy. It says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. Call him. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Does it sound like that has to be in a British accent? It does to me. So they, cheer up, cheerio, on your feet, he's calling you. Now listen to what the blind man does with his cloak and everything that it represents to him, his source of comfort, his source of income, his safety, his security. Listen to what he does. Mark is not wasting words here. This is, for a biblical story, this is intense activity, right? This is absolutely cool. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. See, Jesus already knows now what this guy's up to. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I just want to see. And that word see has this broader reality that comes with it. I want to see. I want to understand. I want to know. I want to obey. I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. How does he know he has faith? How does Jesus know this guy has, you just met him. How does he have faith? He knows. Jesus, when he says, go, your faith has healed you. He knows because the guy already gave his life away, and he left it in a rumpled heap on the side of the road along with his cloak, not knowing if he would ever get it back. He just throws it away. Isn't that cool? Bill Hybels tells a story about this famous tightrope walker who would string a tightrope from across the Niagara Falls from the American side to the Canadian side, and he would wow crowds. People would come out to see him day after day after day, and he would wow the crowds as he would walk. He'd walk across it, and he'd walk back, and the rushing, terrifying water would be underneath him, and it'd be this great spectacular deal. Right? So people were amazed. And to make it even bigger and crazier, he'd put a blindfold on and he'd walk across the tightrope and then he'd walk back. And to make it even crazier, he'd get on a bicycle and he'd go across and then he'd come back. And people were going nuts for this guy. And to make it even nuttier, he would grab a wheelbarrow and push that across and then push it back. And as the story goes, one day, as he was pushing the wheelbarrow back and forth, he challenged the crowd on one side. He said to them, "How many of you believe that I could safely get across pushing this wheelbarrow with a person sitting inside of it?" And the crowd went nuts. "Of course you can do this. Absolutely. You're amazing. We trust in you. We believe in you. Your abilities are fantastic. We've watched you do this for days. We trust in you." And he said, "Okay, then I need a volunteer. I want you to stand up here, form a single file line, and one after another, I'll take you across and back again. I want you to prove that you trust in my ability." Well, come on now. No, of course, there's a silence. Nobody, why would you actually change your behavior and jump in a wheelbarrow and let a guy do that? Oh, blind Bartimaeus, he throws off his cloak, which represents his life, its comfort, its security, the way he makes money, the way that he sustains his own life, throws it aside. Just throws it aside. Friends, throwing off our cloaks, what does that look like? What would that be like for us? Throwing off the cloak of our old way of living, throwing off the cloak of our security, of our control, throwing off what we're comfortable with, what we're familiar with. What would that look like? Because those are profound acts of faith. It means that we're willing not only to like say the things of faith, like, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in his power, I trust." But to actually change our behavior and the way that we live in light of it, right? It means that we put our very lives in the wheelbarrow and trust that God will sustain us. So the question that confronts us this morning is this, and every other day of our lives, what cloaks do we need to throw off that and leave in a rumpled heap somewhere? What cloaks do we need to throw off in order to follow Jesus more closely? We could probably talk about this all day. So I've only got two suggestions, and maybe over lunch you can talk about it with the people you're eating lunch with. So here's the first one. Maybe we need to throw off our cloaks of safety and security, and some of us need to take some risks in order to follow Jesus, if we want to. I mean, if we want to follow Jesus, if we've been captured by this story and captured by this person of Jesus, maybe some of us need to throw off our cloaks of safety and security and take some risks in order to follow more closely. I mean, for Bartimaeus, man, this was comfort. This was security. That cloak represented all of that to him. And he just tosses it aside and lets it go. You know, trusting, having faith that God's not going to let him down, right? That Jesus isn't going to, you know, just push him aside and marginalize him again, right? Leonard Sweet talks about, in Scotland, there's a saying, "He has a brass neck." Have you heard this before? Maybe not. In Scotland, apparently they say this. "Well, that dude has a brass neck," or "she has a brass neck." We say something else in this culture once you hear what it is. A person with a brass neck is someone who's willing to stick his or her neck out for something that they truly believe in. They truly have faith in. They're willing to stick their neck out into places where they might get their heads chopped off. It's dangerous, right? I like that saying. "He has a brass neck. She has a brass neck." This just sounds tough, doesn't it? Well, that got me thinking. I think every single one of us, all human beings, are born with brass necks. I mean, you watch children. Man, children, they're willing to try anything once, right? I know this because I got three boys. I know this even more acutely because my last one, the youngest one, who's 21 months old, he's a climber. My first two were not climbers. This one's a climber. And, oh man, we'll turn our backs for like 5 seconds, and little Micah, 21 months old, will climb up onto one of the dining room chairs, right? And there's a hard floor underneath. He'll climb up onto one of the dining room chairs. And for 21-month-olds, chairs aren't for sitting. No. Chairs are for standing, grabbing the back of, and shaking really hard, going, Daddy, ooh, Mommy, ooh, right? It's like he conquered some mountain or something. Right? And what he doesn't realize is he could very easily just tip that chair over, fall onto the ground, and break his whole body. He doesn't get it. He's willing to take a risk. Children are born with brass necks. I think all of us are born with brass necks. But somewhere along the line, as we grow older, as we get bumped, as we get bruised, as we take risks and we don't, and we pay for it, I think we lose it. We lose our brass necks, and things like safety and security and comfort, much better. I want that. I want safety. I want security. I want comfort. I want what feels good. I don't want to risk anything. Friends, when Jesus turns to us and asks the question, what do you want me to do for you? How do we answer that question? Do we want like a lifetime supply of little blankies that keep us comfortable and safe? Do we want Jesus to say, no, it's okay to keep sitting silent by the side of the road and living life as you normally do, life as usual? Is that what we want? Or are we more like Bartimaeus? Do we want to see again? Do we want to live lives of passion and purpose and vision again? So what do we need? What is it in your life that you need to throw off? A cloak of comfort, safety, security. What cloak do you need to throw off? Maybe you need to risk something. Maybe you need to risk something in order to be about the things that Jesus is about in the world, healing and reconciliation and forgiveness. So maybe you need to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness. It's easier, it's more comfortable just to avoid. I'm just going to go over here and just avoid that person. You maybe need to throw off that cloak of safety and security and comfort and actually go to the person and say, you know what? I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't like the way this is going. Let's make this right. I need you to forgive me. Or maybe you need to offer somebody forgiveness. Somebody has done something to you and it's hurt you deeply. It's easier to avoid it. Throw off that cloak of comfort. Be about the things that Jesus was about. Healing, reconciliation, transformation. Go to that person and say, man, I don't like how this is going. You hurt me, but I still love you. I forgive you. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. It's risky. It's uncomfortable. Maybe you need to talk to somebody about your addiction or your destructive behavior or your anxiety or your need for control, or the anger that you have in your heart, whatever it is. I mean, this list can go on and on, right? And we may get bumped and bruised. It's risky stuff. We may get bumped and bruised. We may be labeled as such and such. But I believe that if Bartimaeus were here today, I think he'd say, it's worth it, man. Risk it. Throw it off, because Jesus won't let you down. Maybe some of us need to throw off our cloaks of safety and comfort. Here's the second one, which is the last one. Maybe some of us need to throw off our cloaks of self-centeredness. Now, we've been talking about that theme for like 6 weeks. Jesus has said so many things. The first shall be last, right? The servant of all, the slave of all. If you want to save your life, you got to give your life away to what God is doing in the world. Your life can't, if you want your life to be about you and you want to save your own life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life away to enhance the lives of others, enjoying what God is doing in the world, you'll live the most extraordinary kind of life. So he's talked about this for you know, day in and day out, right? Maybe some of us need to throw off our cloak of self-centeredness. So for Bartimaeus, his cloak was the way that he sustained his own life. He made a living. It laid on his lap and it caught the money that anybody would throw his way, right? And he throws it off, not only if he ever get it back, right? And then after Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? Instead of asking for a reward, like James and John, we want positions of power. You know, we want all our needs met, Jesus. Instead of asking for that, he asked to be equipped for service. He says, Rabbi, I just want to see. I just want to see. Right? He has to be equipped for service. How do we know that? I mean, sure, James and John don't get what they want, but he does. He does. He gets his sight back, but then look what happens. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus. So for Bartimaeus, no time looking at flowers. He's a blind guy. He receives his sight. And immediately, Mark says, he follows Jesus. No time for looking at flowers. No time for looking at olive trees. No time for looking at the faces of people around him. Not for Bartimaeus. Immediately, he follows Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. They're headed to Jerusalem, where eventually Jesus would make the greatest act of self-giving love ever. Friends, all of us here, we're all sitting on the side of the road. We all have our own sort of blindness. We all have our own, you know, sense of impairment. But I think what we're learning is that health comes, wholeness comes, healing comes, vision comes in the letting go, in the throwing off of all those things that prevent us from following Jesus. So when Jesus confronts us and asks that question, what do you want me to do for you? What he's really saying is, what do you want me to do for you that will allow you to follow me more closely? Because whatever that is, I'm in. I'll do it. Right? So friends, Jesus threw off his cloak of safety and security when he left heaven and became a person. When he came and became a human being to show us exactly what God is really like. He threw off his cloak of self-centeredness when he gave up heaven and became a human being and showed us exactly what it means to be a human being, the kind of people that God intends for us to be. And eventually he gave himself away to the point where he died for the human race. He threw off his cloak of safety and security and comfort. He threw off his cloak of self-centeredness and literally gave his whole life away. So why not us? Are we Jesus people or not? Do we want to follow Jesus or not? Let's throw off our cloaks, see what happens. Let's pray. God, thanks for speaking to us. And for just that little phrase, throwing off his cloak, that image. For Bartimaeus, who did it, it's just amazing how you can speak to us through something so small, and yet it becomes so large and dramatic. And we pray that you would help us, you know, not just be people who say, "I believe in Jesus," you know, "I believe in His power, I believe in God," but have it actually change the way that we live, our actual behavior and the things that we do and the ways in which we interact with people in this world. Help us to throw off, God, whatever it is that's hindering us from following you. And if we're here just sort of exploring what it means to live a life of that follows Jesus, then help us to get a real picture of what that means, God, to give our lives away, to not be living life for ourselves, but to let go of our lives, to give ourselves away, to enhance the lives of others, to love, to heal, to forgive, to renew all things, because that's what you're up to, God, and you want us to work with you. God, thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.